Okay, we are up to the second parak in Maseches Ksubis. Let's start with Tezvav and Mabez. Again, the daf will be Bez Hashem at night, each night this week, except then we'll have a quickie Thursday night and Friday morning, a double dose within 12 hours. So that'll be get us back on this regular schedule. Friday morning, Erev Yom Kippur, the daf will again be in the morning. Okay, second parak. Ha'isha Shinis Armala, O Shinis Garsha. Woman who was widowed or divorced, and there is no ksuba. There is no ksuba, either because Rashi says it was lost, or, as we'll see in the Gemara, maybe it's in a place where they don't write a ksuba. There's no ksuba here. And there's a machlokas now between the husband and the wife, how much he is chayef to pay. He omeris psula nisatani. She says, I was a psula when we got married. I was a psula, so I'm entitled to 200. Vahu omer lo ki ela amana nisate. What are you talking about? You were an amana. You were a widow. You didn't do anything wrong, like we had all those arguments between them in the last parak, which we'll get back to a little later today. But there's still a machlokas how much he has to pay. She says 200, and he says 100. So im yesh edim sheyatzas behinuma v'rosho parua ksubasa masayim. Says the Mishnah, if there are witnesses that, there are no witnesses that she's a psula or not, but there are witnesses that she had a psula wedding. Meaning, what does that mean? Yatzas behinuma. She went out. She went out from where? Rashi says, from her father's house to the wedding hall. She went traveling with a hinuma. We'll see, not on tonight's daf, but on the next daf, on Daf Yud Zayin, hinuma is either a type of veil, something that a psula wore. So there are edim that we remember that at her wedding she wore the psula clothing. And verosha parua, and her head was parua, pashtus, uncovered, parua, uparas rosha isha. We'll talk about that in a minute. So that's enough edus that she was a psula, and therefore she wins, and the ksuba is 200. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, afchila kloyos raya. You don't need the raya from the hinuma or rosha parua, even if they gave out nuts at the wedding, which was a minhag only at a psula wedding and not an amana wedding, that also is good enough. The Shita Mukbetza says, the added chiddush is, that this is something that's even not a dover shebegufa. It's not something about her. It's about, they give out nuts to the kids. What does that have to do with her? It's not how she was dressed or what she was wearing. Even not a davrusha begufa, that also can be enough of a raya. And the Shulchan Aruch Kabetzas assumes that that's arguing on the Tanakama. The Tanakama holds that no, it's got to be a davrusha begufa. The Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnayos seems to say that it's not, it's just an additional point. But there's not really an argument between the Tanai. The Rishalmi here asks, what about Edim? The Mishnah did not mention, what about Edom that she got married on Wednesday? What if you were Edom that she married? Psulanis is the Amar Avi, the Almana, the Amar Chamishi. Right? First Mishnah we had on Daf Beis. Right? Wednesday night is the Psula. Thursday night is the Almana. So what if there are Edom that she got married on Wednesday? So is that good enough? Why isn't that mentioned here? So the Yerushalmi, quoted here by the Rashba and the Ritva, says no, because an Almana, what was the reason Almana got married on Thursday? What was the reason? Remember, what was the reason? The Bracha. The bracha Thursday, the bracha for the dog and the bracha for Adam, Pru, Revu. So not everybody's so machmed about the bracha. The din of getting married on Wednesday, okay, it works in one direction, not the other. Besula had to get married on Wednesday. So she goes to Bezah. That was a takana kavua. But an almana having for sure to get married on Thursday, lav dafka, could very well be that an almana get married on Wednesday too. So the fact that Edom come and say Wednesday, that is not enough of a raya. So that's why you need either the klayos or the yasas behinuma and rosho parua. The big discussion here, before we continue the Mishnah, is we alluded to this, I think, on one of the days of Yontif even. At what moment does the chiyuv of kisui rosh start for a woman? Right, kisui rosh, we know, married woman, is a mitzvah maybe d'oraisa, according to some mafarshim, a woman has to cover her hair. Much of the hair, not for now, details, I think that shears online. But again, Mechasa learned that from Isha Sota, that a woman has to cover her hair. When does that start? So the Shita B'Kubetzas here says, Beferish, it does not apply to an Arusa. Why? Because, what are we talking about? The Mishnah says, Rosho Parua. She's coming from, she's an Arusa already, they did Eris in a year before in those days. She's coming to the wedding hall, and it says, right, what's the Raya that she, Absula? It says, Yasminim of Rosho Parua. So the Shiva Kubetz says here says Beferish, and Arusa, it must be, it didn't kick in yet, only in Asua. Rashi, though, for some reason here, maybe that's why he doesn't like it. Look what Rashi says. The Achronim point out this Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, Rosho Parua? Second wide line in Rashi. Sa'ara al-ktefeha. Her hair's on her shoulders. That's the translation of Rosh HaParua. Her hair sticking out from a covering that is on her shoulders. Sounds like Rashi's Dafka trying to not give the pashtus. Right? Sara al Ktaifeha. Maybe Rashi is saying that it has to be covered somewhat. The hair could be flowing underneath. But maybe that's what Rashi is alluding to. And if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, this Mishnah Berurah, we don't usually pick up on this Mishnah Berurah. It's the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Kriyashma. Hilchos Kriyashma, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about saying Kriyashma in front of Seyar Be'isha. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Besulo Shedakan Lelech Peros HaRosh Mutter. Right? Unmarried women who usually go with uncovered hair, it's Mutter to say Kriyashma in front of them. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting earlier Achronim, U Besulos Arusos Asuros Lelech Begili HaRosh. Mishnah Berurah says, Beferish, quoting earlier Achronim, and Arus is already Asur. Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah's Shita. Okay. That is the Mishnah Berurah notes. Other Achronim argue on this. Other Achronim agree with the Shidu Kubetzas here on the Mishnah, Arusa. Okay, so let's assume Arusa does not have to cover her hair. So when does the Chiyuv start? When does the Chiyuv start? Nesua, she's married. The Minog of Klal Yisrael is not to Minog of Ashkenazic Jewry, I should say, is not to cover the hair at the wedding. So is the Svardim we'll get to in a second. So, but when does the Chiyuv start? So the Reb Avadia has a tshuva in Yechavedas in Hey Samach Beis where he was asked, "Hayim kala lacha sheva brachas shemavarchim tachas achupa nechsheves miyad kinesua v'chayeves bekisi yerosh kadas." Does a woman have to cover her hair right after the chupa? So says Reb Avadia. First he goes through first paragraph. He has four paragraphs here. Yabia Omer, there's a 10-page tshuva. Yechavedas a little more easier to handle on the, for the daf. So the first paragraph is Kisi Rosh is a mitzvah. You have to do it. Second paragraph is I paskin only for a nesua, not an arusa, says Rav Avadia. So only a nesua. He quotes all the shitas back and forth. And then he says, okay, so what's a nesua? So imdina kina, let's come to the din. After the chuppah, imdina kinesua shachayevas bakisi arosh, odina ka arusa, shenitzvicha. So what's her halacha after the chuppah? So he goes through all different shitas about what chuppah was. We discussed this back in Maseches Yevamos at one point. What's chuppah? Is it the canopy? Is it the badekin? Is it the, a makom miyuchad for both of them? And then he says, obviously, I go like the Rambam. What's the Rambam? Yichad aroy labiyah. So says Rav Avadia, we don't do yichud. We, Svardim, don't do yichud after the chuppah. Therefore, she does not have to cover her hair. That's what Rav Avadia says. Ula alacha nira shemeker adin yishlifsa ka Rambam, I'll pass him like the Rambam. Ula fizeh mutter lakala meker adin lishar bekis hirosh al hahinuma. Af lacha mar sheva brachos, because she's not really married yet. V'rak mishas ha-yichud ve'elach nashevas kinesu ha-mamish v'chayevas l'chasos. B'sikum, he always has a sum up, and therefore he doesn't have to cover. And then he adds, Ulafima she noagim yotze Ashkenaz she hachosin v'hakala misyachdim miyad lachar shever brachis. According to the Bnei Ashkenaz who have yichud right afterwards, al hakala lachasvus atzarosh miyad laachar tseisa mecheder hayichud. Says Rav Avadia, she has to cover her hair right after she leaves the yichud room because they are married. Period. This is what Rav Avadia says. The Minhag Olam is not like this. The Minhag Olam is that she does not. One of two svar is given, either because. Even the Rambam is Yichud Roy Labia, but everybody knows that in the Yichud room, they did not consummate the marriage, and therefore they're not really Nesua yet. Or, other Achronim I saw say that she's covering her hair, partially. Right? They all have a veil on, they have something on the head, they have something, so at least maybe on a Daraisa level, it's considered a Kisui. It's not the real din of Kisui Rosh that kicks in when there's a full Gemara Ishus, but maybe L'inyin Zeh, it's good enough. I saw in the Sefer Oleho Lo Yibol, probably the only sefer I know of, so it's about the Minhagim, that somebody, one of the drivers of Shlomo Zalman, used to ask him questions on the run. So he printed a lot of the Psukim in two volumes at least. So I think it's the only sefer I know of that after the Haskamas, there are three or four Haskamas, you know, they always have Haskamas, the sefer, he's a great man, either they say, I looked through the pages, or I didn't look through the pages, and I know he's a great man, right? Either two different types of Haskamas. But after the Haskamas, there's a letter from a Rav who says he shouldn't write the sefer. Never seen that before. He has a letter from one of Rav Shlomo Zalman's sons who says, "This you asked my father on the run, and you shouldn't take this lamaisa, you shouldn't publicize these psukim." So, Tova Tochachas Megula Me'ava Mesuteras. That's the title of this letter. Anyway, that's in the Olelo Yibo. So you always have to know, take it with a grain of salt exactly from here, because it's Rav Shlomo Zalman more of this psukim, not unofficial, unreviewed by the author. So there he quotes in page Ayin Aleph, he was asked, Does a kala have to cover her hair right after the yichud room? So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, ein makar mefurash lahakel. There's no explicit source to be meiko, but everybody's meiko. Mikal makom zui uvda shemikilim bazeh viafilo anashim yirei shemayim noagin lahakel bazeh lemaskana. The he says, Amar lanu harav, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if the kala is maskim to cover, fine, but you don't have to make machlokas for it. And then he says, harav hosif me'atzmo, and he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman continued by himself and said, shemasha omrim shaharav ovadya hitir zehu sheker umeolam lo hitir zos. I've heard b'shem Rav Ovadya that he was matir and it's wrong. So it must be that the Shmua was that he was matir, but only l'shita so, because they don't have yichud. So they don't have yichud, that's why he was matir. He wasn't matir with Ashkenazim. So maybe that's what was lost in the telephone game from the story that got from Rav Avadia to Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was matir, but only for Svardim who don't have yichud. But if anybody has yichud, he says it. So again, halacha l'maisa, again, I think most Masadri Kedushin will go with the minhag olam of not covering the hair until after, or assuming that this is enough of a covering. Okay, but a lot of this is based on, there's not much in Shas that deals with this. But this is one of the key sources where it says, Rosha Parua. Anybody here have their wife cover their hair at the wedding? Nobody in the room. Okay, including myself. Okay, so let us continue. So this was the first half of the Mishnah, right? There they were machlokes. I was a psula. I was an amana. So if there are edim that she was she had a psula type wedding, then fine, 200. Umode Reb Yoshua. Reb Yoshua is mode. Which Reb Yoshua? Where was Reb Yoshua? What was he mode from? So the Gemara will talk about it. Reb Yoshua. Let's just say who always who came. Let's just leave it. Who came up in the first parak? Rabbi Yeshua came up in the first parak in some of the Mishnayos. We'll get back to what, but he holds. Ba'omer lechaveiro sadezu shalavicha haisa. If I go up to my friend and say, you know what, this field that I have, it used to be your father's. Ulekachtiyam imenu, but I bought it from him 5 years ago. I come over to you, Shitas Rashi. I come over to you without any prodding. You don't know me. You never said a word to me. I go over to you and say, you know what, the field that I've been living on the past couple of years, it was your father's, and I bought it from him. So do we trust him? Says the Gemara, we trust him. Why? Shehu Neman, Shehapesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir. Big sugya, come up now, so we come up later on in Daf Chav Beis. Hapesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, that doesn't really mean, we're talking about, there's no Isser here. We're borrowing this terminology from the context of Isser. It just means, Hapesha Asar, the one who caused the problems here, solved the problems. We don't know any problem. We never knew this wasn't yours. So you volunteered the information. It wasn't yours. And now you say, how you got it? No problem. We'll believe you. Hapesha asar hu hapesha hitter. That's what the Rabbi Yosef Engel says. I have it here somewhere. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, Afagav de inkan din isra veheter rak din mamon mikol makom aga grov de mishra didmai nokelok. This is a term, a principle used in Shas, hapesha asar hapesha hitter. And even though it's not in the context of Isurim, we still use that term.
Does it matter how long he was there?
That's a good question. This wait to Baba Basra. If he was there for 3 years, that's already might be a chazaka, chaspas gimel shanim, without a mecha. But it might be that's a detail. Chaspas gimel shanim is only a chazaka if the other person knew that you had it, then you would be machzegit it, and he didn't complain. But if he didn't know about it, then it might not be considered a chaspas gimel shanim. Okay. There is a discussion here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, exactly as I just explained the Mishnah, and that is, there's no Toveya in the case of Rabbi Yoshua. Rashi seems to say it, and Tosfos explicates that that's what Rashi means. The bottom Tosfos on the previous Amud says, it seems clear from Rashi that I go over to you and say, this used to be your field, and I bought it from your father. That's what it seems to say. And Tosfos says, I think, even if the guy would come to me and say, hey, that used to be my father's field, or that's my field, and then I answer, yes, it was, but I bought it, even there you'd be believed. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, does Hapesha Asar, Hu Hapesha Hitir, does that principle apply even if there is somebody who started the ball rolling? Do I have to totally start the ball rolling? I have to come and say, this used to be your field and I bought it from your father? Or Tosfos says, in the fifth line of that Tosfos, that even if there's a Toveya, he's still Naaman. Because the guy comes over to me, he has no proof. Hey, that used to be my father's field. I could just say, go away. What are you talking about? It's my field. It's always been my field. I said, oh, you're right. It was your father's, but I bought it from him. So that's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi seems to say only if I totally get the ball rolling, and Tosfos says even if there's a toveya. What's the machlokas about?
Why is that amigo?
Rabbi Chanan here in the Kovach Shiurim says, what is a pesha aser ha pesha hiter? Is that the principle that we have had already and that we know of called migu? Migu, there are different ways to understand migu, but for now let's just say migu means I'm believed because I have a good claim. It's a powerful claim for some reason. Whether I could have said a better claim, amigo is a good claim. So is that pesha asar exactly just another way of saying that principle? Or do we say no? Hapesha asar, hapesha hiter is a different kind of principle. You know what it means? It means I started the problem, and therefore if I started the problem and solved the problem, then it's no problem. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it's a unique halacha here. Hapesha asar is different than migu. It means if you start the ball rolling and you solve the problem, so that's it, you finish. That's why Rashi says you can't have a toveya. Mashengin Tosfos, even if there's a toveya, hapesha asar works because it's a migu. A migu is a powerful halachic instrument, even if there's a toveya here. That's how he explains the machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. And he says there are other nafkaminas as well. Do you have to say it? We'll have later on. Do you have to say the pesha hitir right away, or could you say it like in a week from now? Hapesha asar today, hapesha hitir in a week from now. That's going to be a machlokas. He says that also might be connected to this. That's what the Rabbi Chanan here, right at the beginning of the second paragraph. Okay, and we'll get back to a little more Rabbi Chanan a little later. Okay, so that is this principle, and we will get more of this principle in a few blah, on Daf Chav Beis. Let's continue. V'im yesh edim shehi shel aviv, but if there are witnesses that it used to be your father's. Even Tosfos didn't say this. What did Tosfos say? Even if you come over to me and say, hey, that was my father's, and I say, you're right, it was your father's, and I bought it from him, then you're believed. But if there are witnesses that it was your father's, then I can't just say, you know, I bought it. Then, v'hu amelukachtiya imenu eno nemu, it is not believed. Because there are edim that the other guy has, and I have nothing, so therefore, he is not believed. Period. Says the Gemara, Taima di'ika edim. Now we're back to the first part of the Mishnah. Taima di'ika edim. Why do we believe? Remember the first part of the Mishnah? The wife says, I was a psula, and the husband says, no, you were an almana. Machlok is 200-100. So the Mishnah says, if there are witnesses that she had a psula wedding, so then she is believed. So says the Gemara, Taima di'ika edim. It sounds like the only reason that he is believed, I'm sorry, the only reason that she wins is because she has edim proving that she had a psula wedding. Haleka edim baal mehemin. But if there wouldn't be edim, if she wouldn't have edim, so then it seems clear that the husband would be believed, meaning only 100. Because the Mishnah says, hey, if there are edim, that's 200. Mashma, that if there were no edim, it's just the machlokas between them, right? She says psula and the husband says almana, then he'd be believed. So lematznan stamad lo Rabbi Gamliel. So shall we assume that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Gamliel? Di Rabbi Gamliel ha'amar ihi mehemna. Because Rabbi Gamliel, back in the first parak, in the last five Mishnayos of the first parak, remember there was the same machlokas in five Mishnayos. Some of the machlokas, husband and the wife, Rabbi Gamliel always says she wins because she has a cheskas haguf, she has a cheskas kashrus, and Rabbi Yoshua always says that he wins. He has a cheskas mamon, he has something else on his side. So should we assume, because what does our Mishnah say? If she has edim, she wins. Mashpeh, if there are no edim, then he wins. So should we assume that this Mishnah is against Rabbi Gamliel? Because Rabbi Gamliel says that she wins, even without edim. Says the Gemara, no. Afila tamer Rabbi Gamliel. No, Rabbi Gamliel could agree to our Mishnah. Ad kalan kamer Rabbi Gamliel hasam ela babari v'shema. In all those cases, in the first perek, she was a vadai. She was a bari. And the husband had no idea. She says I was a mukhaseis. She says it happened now. She says it happened before. She knew what happened to herself. So she was the bari, and he was the shema. He was guessing. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel said in all those cases that he is not believed and she wins. Aval hacha, bari bari lo amar. But who says he would say it here? Here they both vadai. One of them is obviously lying, or just not remembering properly. But here they're both bari. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel would say, it could be that Rabbi Gamliel here would admit that he would win. The Ritva here has a ha'ara. The Ritva says, so what does this seem like from this Gemara? He wins. He wins, meaning what? Why does he win? She has a cheskas haguf, but what does he have? Hamotze mechaver olav araya. He has the money. You want to prove? We have the principle. By dinim aminis, hamotze mechaver olav araya. Different ways to understand hamotze mechaver olav araya. Is it a birur? Is it a nihug? Fine. Says the Ritva, if his cheskas mamon beats her cheskas haguf, So why back in the first parak, if you remember, we asked, why is the husband believed for Pesach Pasuach or Lahavtidah Ksubasa? The Gemara brought in a new principle. Chazaka ein adam tareach besu'uda umafsida. A man's not going to go through the whole wedding and then throw it all away for nothing. If he knows he's going to come the next day with a claim, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. You know, it must be selling the shoes. Special chazaka. Answer it for what do you need that chazaka for? This Gemara here says, his cheskas mamon beats her cheskas aguf. So what do you need chazaka in under the mafsida for? What do you have to bring that whole new chazaka in for? Yeah?
Do we say there's a specs fake and it's only a limited case where you could come to base it?
Okay. Okay. To Aser.
Oh, but not
for the... But maybe Ksuba's different. That's what he's assuming. I think he's talking about that. Oh, right. I think he's talking about the Ksuba. So the Ritva says, really, we're missing one factor. Really, there's also a rove for her. Most women who get married are psulas, which the Gemara is about to bring in a minute. So really, there's two and two. That's why you need the chazaka. She has a rove. Rove women are psulos when they get married. And she has a cheskas aguf. And therefore, a plain cheskas mamon wouldn't win. So therefore, says the Ritva, that's why you need the extra chazaka of Eidar and Torah Pesudim Apsita. Okay. Says the Gemara, Uta Ka'arila, my Ka'arila. So, one sec. What was the Hava mean? It's to compare the cases. One's Bari V'Bari, one's Bari V'Shema. That's such a great answer. What was the question? Ha Bari V'Bari who? So the Gemara says, yeah, like the Ritva just alluded to. Kivin, the Rov Nasha, Besulos Nisos. No, but because here she has a Rove on her side, Ki Bari V'Shema Dami. It's as if it's like a Bari V'Shema case. It's as if, even though they're both Bari, but because she has a Rove on her side, says the Gemara, it's as if it's a Bari V'Shema, and therefore we would be a Havamina, that we would believe her more, Kamashwan, that's the Chiddush, that we would believe him. Interesting. So the Gemara says, if there's a stalemate, if there's no Adib, he wins. He wins. Does he win without having to do anything? Says the Rambam, he has to make a Shavua. What Shavua? Modib Mixas. Now, we're not a Choshe Mishpat. We don't have our Choshe Mishpat brains on right now. But says the Rambam, remember, what she's claiming 200 and he's admitting to 100. That's a Shavuos Modib Mixas. Right? There are three Shavuot Daraisas. Shavuos HaShomer, Shavuos Modib Mixas, and Shavuos Eid Echad. So this is one of the three Shavuot Daraisas at the Rambam. He wants to only pay up 100. So says the, it might not be exactly, Modib Mixas and he's paying. He's not, but either way, so says the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Vimhaya Habal Kayam, obviously if he died, it's not going to be Modib Mixas, Yesh Lo Lashvio Shavuos HaTorah, Sharei Hodib Mixas HaTayna, it's Modib Mixas. The Ravid argues it's another issue. Now the Ravid says, no, there's a rule, you don't make a shvua when it comes to karka. And ksuba is a shibur karkos. Really, when you have a ksuba, all of his immovable property is leaned into the ksuba. So that's a rule, so what's the machlokas? Not for now. So the Ravid argues on technical grounds. But either way, the Rambam says, remember, this is a shvua. He wins, but it's only with the shvua. Shvua is brother mixas.
He can't be kofar bakol. Everyone agrees he owes 100.
He can't be kofar bakol.
He owes her 100.
Unless he would say a mekachtos, unless he would say something happened.
Right,
right. He says that, but okay, Lamaisa, the question is, what could he have done? But either way, he'd miss half.
No, he's missing
the whole thing. This makes us only apply when you couldn't have been kofar bakol? Right, that's Daf Gimel, Bab Metzia, right on the bottom there. Right, so, is that chazaka, is that, I think the Rishonim discussed it there. Do you need that chazaka in order for what makes us to kick in? I think that's probably related to that. Okay, that is the Rambam Riven in Hilchos Ishus. Okay, let's continue. Hachanami, last word on the line. Hachanami Mistavra. It makes sense. What makes sense? It makes sense what we just said, that Rabbi Gamliel, the first half of the Mishnah could even be Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, who always was into believing her in the first parak, here would admit that we believe him. It makes sense that, because remember, what was the structure of the Gemara? Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Gamliel. No, our Mishnah is even like Rabbi Gamliel. So it makes sense to say that. Why? Because the second half of the Mishnah says Rabbi Yeshua admits. If the first half of the Mishnah is telling you a case that Rabbi Gamliel is Modeh, then there's parallelism in the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah is a case where Rabbi Gamliel would admit to Rabbi Yeshua. The second half of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua admits to Rabbi Gamliel. But if the first Mishnah is not Rabbi Gamliel at all, it's Rabbi Yeshua l'man Modeh, then the whole Mishnah is only like Rabbi Yeshua. So, well, who's he being Modeh to? The whole Mishnah is like his Shita. If the first half of the Mishnah is including Rabbi Gamliel also, so now you can say in the second half of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua, you know what, Mr. Rabbi Gamliel in this case. But if the first half of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Gamliel anyway, what's the other Shita? Rabbi Yeshua, so what do you mean, Umod Rabbi Yeshua? The whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says, no. That's I can get out of that raya. Misavis Rabbi Yoshua Hyperkin Koi. Who says that you have to read the second half of our Mishnah with the first half of our Mishnah? Amigu Koi Va'apirkin Kamakoi. It could very well be that the last few lines of our Mishnah have nothing to do with the first half of our Mishnah. And it's really has to do with the previous cases in the Mishnahs. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi break it up? Kasha. Not for us now. But either way, says the Gemara, it could be that these few lines of Modi Yeshua has nothing to do with the first half of the Mishnah. So don't say it has to be this, right? It's a riot that it's Rabbi Gamliel. That's not true. So now the Gemara for the rest of the Amud goes into which Mishnah in the first Perek might this line of Rabbi Yeshua be going on. Remember, what does this line say? Rabbi Yeshua admits in this case. Even though, and what is it, what did our line just say? Amigu kai. It's going on the case of a migu in the first parak. There's some case that somebody had a migu, a powerful claim in the first parak, where Rabbi Yeshua there said, it's no good. And here, though, he says it works, because it's Pesha Asr or Pesha Hitir. Which Mishnah is this comment going on? So we are going to have four tries. The fourth one will be accepted. So, ahai, on which case? Ilema aha, number one, and we're going to go backwards. All the Mishnayos that we had at the end of the first parak, backwards. First, the last one. Ilema aha is going on the following. Aisumu beres, you have a pregnant woman. We ask her, right, she's not married. Who's this fetus from? Meishponi v'koinu, she says, I know I'm not married, but the man at least was a kosher. He wasn't a mamzer, he wasn't a psul. Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Blazor, Menemenez, Rebbe Shua, Merlo, Mepiano, Chayin. And there was a machlokas tanam there. Who's believed? Do we believe her? Remember the Lashon Lomi Piha Anuchayin? We had the pshat that, what do you mean Anuchayin? We don't live by her word. What do you mean live by her word? Just say she's not believed. We believed him. What's that Lashon? So we know it. I think it was a Ritva that quoted. Right, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos the three Shalosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam Din Emes and Shalom at the end of the first parak in Pirkei Avos. The world stands on Din Emes and Shalom. So Lomi Piha Anuchayin. We're not living on her word because she's not telling the Emes. She's not keeping the world going. So maybe Anuchayin. So maybe it's going on that Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua admits it's going on that Mishnah. So Hasa Mai Migu Ika. There, it can't be going on that Mishnah because what are we saying? Rabbi Yeshua admits to this Migu and not to that Migu. But there's no Migu in that Mishnah. That Mishnah is just about there's a pregnant woman there. So what could she claim? She has to claim that she's pregnant, that she has a baby. Hari Kresa Ben Shinel. Her stomach's between her teeth, literally. And therefore, that's not a case of Migu. And again, what did our Gemara say? That our line from our Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua admits here, even though he rejected the previous Migu. So we got to find some case that was a previous Migu. So this Mishnah is not about a Migu. So we can't. This can't be the right possibility.
Why couldn't she say she was married?
Because we know she wasn't married. Where's the husband? Where's the baby from? Where's the get? What? Where the Eide Kiddushin? Where's the Eidim of anything? We know she just comes and she's pregnant. We don't know anything about man. There's no Eidim for anything. So she admits. So, right, you were saying maybe there's a migu that she could have said she was married, but the Gemara is assuming not. The Gemara is assuming that we know that that was not the case. Ela aha, possibility two. We see her midaberes with somebody. And we say, who is that guy? And she says, he's a kosher. So again, we have the machlokas. So again, we have the machlokas, whether we believe her or not. So again, the Gemara says, hasamai migu ika. What migu is there? But at least here, it could work according to one understanding. Ha nicha, remember we had this. What does midaberes mean in that Mishnah? She was midaberes with somebody. Did that mean she had yichud with somebody? Or that she had bia with somebody? Those are two understandings. So ha nicha le ze'iri to amar mai midaberes nistera. According to Ze'iri, who had said that midaberes there means yichud, and all we know as outsiders is that she has yichud. She had yichud. We don't know anything more than that. So then she has a migu in that case. Why? Migu di bayamr lo nevalti. She could have said, I wasn't nevelos at all. Vikamra nevalti, and she says, I was nevelos to a kosher person. Ma'am, no. So then, fine. According to Ze'iri, I have a good possibility of what Rabbi Yeshua is going on. El Ravasi to Amar Maimed Beres Niveles, my Migu Ika. But according to Ravasi, who says Midaberes means Niveles, and we know she was Niveles, so then again, we have no Migu. So again, we don't know what this line of Rabbi Yeshua is going on. So we go to possibility number three. Ela aha, the following case. He omers mukas eitzani v'hu omer loki ela drusas ishat. Again, everybody agrees she was a be'ula. But she says, I had an accident. And he says, no, you had bia with somebody. So we had the machlokas, Rabbi Gliya, Rabbi Blazer, Omer Nehmenes, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer Lohan, Pianu Chayin. Again, we see Yehazamai migu iga. What's the migu there? What's the better claim that she could have said that Rabbi Yoshua rejects and admits to here? Again, what's the migu? So the Gemara says it worked according to one understanding and not the other. Again, the svaris for this were given a few days ago. But we'll just remember the machlokas. According to Rabbi Lazar's understanding, the machlokas between the husband and the wife is 100-0. She says, I'm mukhas eitz, and therefore I should get 100. He says, you're an avelas, and you should get 0. So if that's the machlokas, then fine. I understand how there's a migu. Why? Because migu di by amra mukhas eitz ani tachtecha, she could have said I had an accident after erusin, the islam asayim, and therefore I could be claiming 200. But v'ka'amra me'ikara, delas elamalo mehemna. But she says, you know, I had an accident before erusin. She's admitting to it. So that's her migu. She could have said, I was mukhas eitz after erusin, and she says it was before erusin. So fine. She has a better claim there, mehemna. So according to that understanding of Rabbi Elazar, this could also be a case where Yeshua is commenting on. But according to the other understanding, that when she says I was in mukhas eitz, so I deserve 200, then that's the best claim she has. So again, there's no migu according to that understanding. So elaha. So finally, number four, the fourth and final possibility, the original case that we had back on Daf Yud Beis. Hanos yasish lo maslo psulim. Man gets married and doesn't find psulim. He omets b'sheresani nenasi v'nastachos sadehu. She says, I was raped after erusin. Tough luck on you. Right, tough luck on you. It was after erusin. It wasn't a mekatos. And my tube is 200. V'hu omer loki ela ashlo erastich. He says, I'm sorry that you this might have happened to you, but it was before Erison. Mechachtos, 0. That's the machlokis. Ah, there's a case of migu. Why? To migu di by amra muchas eitz ani tachtecha. She could have said, I had an accident. She admitted that she was raped. She says, I could have had an accident. To loka pasla nafsha mikahuna. And if she would have said mukhas eitz, she then would not pasul herself from marrying a kohen anymore. And yet she said ne'enasti, where she has now pasuled herself from ever marrying a kohen again. So that's the migu. That's the migu, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel there in that Mishnah says she is ne'emenes. And that, now the Gemara concludes, the Kamar Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbi Gamliel, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying in our Mishnah. The Moder of Yeshua is commenting all the way back on that Mishnah. Why did Rabbi Yudanasi put it there? Kasha, not for now. Okay, but now we're just trying to understand it. B'hai migu, d'ahacha modina lacha. Rabbi Yeshua says, this migu, the pesha aso, pesha hitir, so I'll admit to you this halacha. But b'ahu migu, d'ahasam paligni lovech. But I don't like that migu, in that Mishnah over there. What's the difference? Well, the Gemara will say in a second. Okay, let's continue for a second. Michti, hai migu v'hai migu, maishna hai migu v'hai migu. What's the difference? Why over there does Rabbi Yeshua reject it, and over here he accepts it? So the Gemara says, hacha, ein shar shachos lofanecha. Hasam hare shar shacha lofanecha. Here, there's a dead animal in front of you, and there isn't. What does that mean? It's a mashal. Over there is evidence. She is not a besula. You have physical evidence that she has to say something about. You're right, she could have said a better claim. But it could be, Rashi explains here, that she's scared, she's under pressure, she knows she has to say something. That's not as good of a migu as in our case, where I go over to you unannounced and say, you know what? This field that I have used to be your father's and I bought it. That's a great migu. You're starting the whole thing. That's Shor Shachal Fanecha versus Ein Shor Shachal Fanecha. Says Yisrael, Rabbi Chanan's Kasha, or Raya, it sounds pretty clear from the Gemara here. It sounds like the Gemara is using interchangeably Migu and Pesha Asar. Rabbi Chanan said earlier that Pesha, two understandings of Pesha Asar, is this a unique principle or is it Migu? The Gemara here calls it a Migu. Maishna hai Migu, mahai Migu. So how would the other understanding read this Gemara? Says Rabbi Chanan, that's the answer of the Gemara. Maybe that's goof of what the Gemara is answering. Shar Shachal Lefanecha versus Ein Shar Shachal Lefanecha. By saying there's no Shar Shachal Lefanecha, that's saying that really means this person is getting the whole ball rolling. And this isn't just a migu, this is Pesha Aser. That's exactly what the Gemara answers, possibly, says Rabbi Chanan, according to that understanding. The Havamin and the Kasha was that they're the same principle. The answer is, of Shar Shachal or Ein Shar Shachal, that means that really, if a person gets the whole ball rolling, that's the principle of Pesha Aser, and it's Naaman, even if I wouldn't believe Migu in other contexts. Okay, that's exactly what Rabbi Chanan says on that line. No, but Rashi Lushitaso reads this Gemara as I just explained it. Right? I didn't get it to Tosas. Tosas has the opposite reading. Look at Tosas, Yiras Al Hasam. He, because he says it's even by a Toveya, he has to have a different reading of the Gemara. If you look at that, Tosas, Yiras Al Hasam. Okay. Period. Interesting Rambam, another Rambam Ravid here. The Rambam Ravid in Hilchos, Yisurabiya. Perek Yurches. Rambam says as follows. Listen to this halach. Ashes Kohen, Sha'amra Labaila Ne'enasti. An Ashes Kohen, wife of a Kohen, who says to her husband, I was raped. Rechman Litzlan. So what's the halacha? Is she Asura Labaila? She has no Edom. There are no Edom for anything. She just says, I was raped. Afal pi shehi muteres labayla kamoshi biyarna. The Rambam says, woman is not believed to say that. Why? What do we think? We think she wants to marry the neighbor. Why should we believe her? She says, I was raped. There are no witnesses, there's no ma'ani, there's no nothing here. She has no koach to do that. So the Rambam says, even though she's not believed, what if her husband dies tomorrow? She's still asura l'kahuna because of Shavya Nafshei. Hari asura l'chol kohen sheba olam achas yom hazbayah. If her husband divorces her, then it doesn't make a difference. She's a grusha. But if the husband dies tomorrow, so then, says the Rambam, even though she stays in her own marriage, but she can no longer marry a kohen. Says the Ravid, what are you talking about? Says the Ravid, Avabi sha'amar dvar chachma, ein shmuaso mechuveres. Says the Ravid, if she's staying married, you obviously don't believe her. If you don't believe her, let her marry a kohen after the guy dies. You can't have it both ways. That's the Taina of the Ravid. Says the Magen Mishnah, where does the Rambam get it from? Where does he get it from? Our Gemara. What did our Gemara just say? We just read it before the few lines. She says, Mucha heis tachtecha, delo kapasla nafsha mikahuna, vikamra ne'enasti, de kapasla nafsha mikahuna. Who is she passeling? Pasla nafsha mikahuna, what do you mean? She can't passel herself to her husband? Ah, means if her husband dies. That's the raya. That's the case. That's the Rambam's raya, says the Magen Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Malach, so what does the raya do with the Gemara? He also knew the Gemara. So what is that? It's a Mefurish Gemara. Says the Mishnah Malach, I'll tell you what he does. It's by an Eishes Yisrael. In Eishes Yisrael that says I was raped, she could stay married. We believe her 100%. But she stayed married to her husband, because in Eishes Yisrael is Muteres Labayla. If we believe her 100% now, we'll believe her 100% afterwards. By an Eishes Yisrael, we'll believe her. Totally now and totally then. By an Eishes Kohen, you don't believe her now, so you can't believe her then. You can't have it, you can't split it. That's the Shita of the Ravid. You can't split now and later. If you're going to believe her now, you can believe her then. Our Gemara is about an Eishes Yisrael. Pasal Nafshei Mikahuna is right after the marriage. So believe her totally. The Magen Mishnah would say, no, our Gemara is not Mechalek, and even if you don't believe her now, you do believe her later for Shavya Nafshi. It might relate to Shavya Nafshi being Ne'emonis or Neder, but that is Rambam Ravid in Yisurei Bia, Yud Ches Tes, and the Magen Mishnah, and the Mishnah L'melech there. Period. Okay, four lines from the bottom. V'kivon, second word. The Kiva de Rob Nashim, getting back to something that we said before. There's a big period here. We found the right to Rabbi Yeshua. End of that discussion. The Kiva de Rob Nashim, Besulos Nisos, Kiloasu Eidem Mayhave. Getting back to what we said before. We said before there's a rove of women who get married are Besulos. Most women are Besulos who get married. So why isn't that an important factor in our Mishnah? What do we say in our Mishnah? He wins. If there are no Eidem, he wins. Hamotze Mechaver Lavaraya. But there's a rove on her side that she was a Besula. So why isn't that significant? Says the Gemara, just parenthetically, Tosva says, this is only according to the Mandarma that says, you go after the rove by Mamanus. Because we're talking about Ksuba here. Bottom Tosva. Lo Rav Parach, the Isla Hokan Mamanach HaRov. And see in the Tosva, you shine him on the side, maybe it's even according to the other Shita. Okay. So the Gemara's question is, why isn't a rove significant? So Amar Avina, Mishum Deika Lameima, Rove Nashim Besulos Nisos Umir Almanos. No. There's rove women who get married are besulos, correct, but there is a minority that are widows. The chol hanisseis besula yesh lakol. But when a besula gets married, there's a public kol that goes out. Vizu hol ve'en lakol isra laruba. If this woman did not have a kol, so there's a reyasa in the rove, and that's why it's a weakened rove, and that's why it's not significant. And his cheskas mamon wins out. It's a weak rove. It's a weak rove. Says the Gemara, what did we just say? Every besula has a kol? So, kiasu eidem mayhavi. If every psula has a kol, then the eidim that come that say she had henema or rosha parua, they must be liars. So why would we believe them? It says every besula has a kol. That's what the Gemara said before. Hanach sadi shakri ninu. Must be these eidim are lying. So how can we trust them if they say that they saw a behenema? Say Ella Alma Ravina. Ravina said, okay, just modify that principle. Rov hanisle besula yish lakol. Most women who get married are most besulos who get married have a kol. Vizu hel vein lakol israel aruba. And since this one did not have a kol, the rov is weakened. Period. What did we just say in this Gemara? A few lines up. We said, if we assumed that it was kol, all women, all psulas have a kol, then what? Then we would think that Edom are shakranim. A kol beats Edom? The fact that there was no kol makes the Edom shakranim? Don't we assume the Edom are the best beer you could have? Nothing's better than Edom. The fact that there was no kol, says the Ritva, what's better than Edom? What's the Gemara talking about here? Says the Ritva. Where are we here? Don't you say Edom are better than a kol? A kol is a public, result of a certain event. But Edom, says the Ritva, an unbelievable Chiddush. You know what? Because there was no kol, it's as if the whole world is Edom, that she wasn't a psula. So you're right, these two Edom come. But what the Gemara think at the time? The principle is kol. Every basula has a kol, if every basula has a kol, kuf vav lamid, so then if there is no kol, then it's like the whole world is a group of Edim that she was not a basula. And that's why we wouldn't believe the Edim that say that she was Yossi's Behenema. That's the Chiddush of the Ritva on our Gemara. The Rashbam, this Gemara is also quoted in Bava Basra, the Rashbam has another answer. He just says no. Because the Edom, remember, they never said she's a psula. They say they saw the henema, they saw the nuts. So again, those Edom didn't testify about psulas, that's why we could still say the kol wins. Because the kol isn't going directly against the Edom. It's circumstantial evidence the Edom are saying, but not Vadai. Okay, period. Vim yesh Edom jazab henema, there are Edom that she went up a henema. V'leichosh duma mafka Edom b'hai beidin of agavya, v'hadam mafka lay luksuba b'hai beidin of agavya ba. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Why aren't we worried? What's going to happen? There are Edim, she's going to bring Edim that she was Yossi's Behenema. And there's no Ksuba here, so why she's going to collect 200? Then maybe, why aren't we worried that she has the Ksuba really in her back pocket, and she's going to go to another Bezdin and take out the Ksuba and say, I'm owed 200. Right? So who said, maybe she's falsifying. I don't know where the Ksuba is. Maybe she has the Ksuba. She'll get paid by Edim in this Bezdin, and by the Ksuba in the other Bezdin. So the Gemara says two answers. Amrei Avos Osamaris Kosvin Shovar. Number one answer is that we give the husband a receipt. A shovar is a receipt. We give the husband a receipt that he paid the ksuba. So it doesn't matter. She can't collect it again. We'll give her a receipt that she paid the ksuba. Even though Rashi points out, even though now he has a responsibility to guard the shovar, he might lose it. Okay, but he has the responsibility. Kosvin Shovar. Rav Papa Amar, second answer. B'machem she'in kosvin ksuba skina. No, we're talking about a place where they didn't write ksubas. It was automatic. It was a tznai bezdin that husbands have to pay the ksuba, even without the ksuba, even without writing the ksuba. And it was a place that they didn't write the ksuba. It was automatic chiyuvim. So that's why you're not worried that she's going to take it out, because it was in a place where it was not written. So that is version A of the Gemara. Version B of the Gemara. We have the same exact discussion now, but on a brisa, not on our Mishnah. Viga the Masi La Brisa. Some have the same exact discussion on the following brisa. If the ksubasa hit me, the ksubasa nisr ksubasa. Let's say her ksuba got lost, or she hid it, or it got burned up. Look at the Shid Mukubetzas here. What's the chiddush of each one? Rakdu. So in that case, maybe the ksuba is not here for some reason. It was lost. It was burned. Rakdu lefaneha, sakdu lefaneha. And there are edim that they danced in front of her like they did at a psula wedding. Or heviu lefaneha koshel basura. They brought in front of her a cup of special wine, which we'll see later, is a special wine that they only brought out at for a psula wedding. O mapesh psulam, or a special handkerchief. Im yeshla edim ba'echen mikol e luksubasa masayin. If there are edim for any of these actions which took place at a ksuba wedding, at a psula wedding, her ksuba is 200, meaning exactly parallel discussion to our Mishnah. So the Gemara said, one second, same chash. Why aren't we worried that she has edim here and then she'll take out the ksuba there? Answer number one, no, He gets a receipt. No worry. No, it's talking about a place where no ksuba was written. The verse says, what do you mean? It's a ksuba saktani. He said that she lost the ksuba. What do you mean it's a place where they didn't write a ksuba? How'd she lose the ksuba? Obviously, there is a ksuba here. So the Gemara says, the cause of la'ihu. You're right. It's a place where they don't usually write, but he happened to write it in this case. So then the Gemara says, if she wrote it, if he wrote one, so sof mafkal of agaviba. Send you back to the problem. If he wrote a ksuba, maybe it's in her back pocket. She'll take it out in the other bezdin. So the Gemara says, my ivda ba'or. No, what is ivda? Ivda lost it means she lost it in fire. It means it was burned up. So the Gemara says, iyachana nisufa. But that's the next line. The next line says it was burned up. The ode hits mina ma'ikal meimer. So fine, you can explain the case of loss, which is lost in fire, but hits mina means she hid it. So if she hid it, so how can you explain that? Ma'ikal meimer, you still have the chashash there. Visu ivda lamali. Those four words are very difficult. It sounds like the same question as the first question. We just had three questions. We said, if ivda means burned, isn't that the same thing as nisrafa? Hitzmina, you didn't explain. And what is ivda coming to teach me? So isn't number three the same thing as number one? So the Ritva takes out these four words. It says the same kasha. So the Ritva takes out these four words. Tosis tries to explain it. Tosis yiramaskal vasu. But the Ritva takes it out. So what's going on here? So Ella the Gemara says, we have to understand the Brisa as follows. Call ivda ki hitmina befaneinu dami. It's really not three separate things. Lost, hid, or burned. It's all basically one phrase. Anytime it was lost, call ivda ki hitmina befaneinu dami. We'll treat it, if she says it was lost, we're going to treat it as if she says, I hid it. Meaning we're not going to trust her. Velo yahavinala, we're not going to give her the ksuba because we're worried she's going to take it out again. Ad amri edim nisrafa ksubasa. Until edim come along and say it was burned up. So that's how we bedochik interpret the brisa in a way where she'll only get paid if there's no chash that she's going to take the ksuba out somewhere else. So now the Gemara says, we have the same version on the Mishnah and on the brisa. Man demasi la brisa koshkinah mastisa. The one who had this conversation on the brisa, we'll surely have it on the Mishnah too. Why? Because the Mishnah is much simpler. You don't have to have any difficult readings. Man demasi la mastisa nava brisa lo kikoshia. But the one who had the conversation on the Mishnah would not have it on the brisa because the brisa is a difficult reading. You have to bedochik understand. Period. Im yesh edim chulu. The next part of our Mishnah said, if there are edim that she had this special type of hinuma on her hair, the Gemara asked a similar question. V'leichesh dilma mafka edi hinuma b'hai bezdin v'gavya. V'hadr mafka edi hinuma b'edin achrina v'gavya. Why aren't we worried that there's no ksuba here, right? We said either it's a place where you don't write a ksuba. But there were a lot of people at the wedding. So why don't we worry that she'll take Reuben and Shimon to this bezdin? And Reuben and Shimon will say that she had a hinuma, she'll collect. And then she'll go to another bezdin with Levi and Yehuda and say, oh, look, I'm a bzula, I was at a hinuma. Right? So why aren't we worried that she'll get other edim? So the Gemara says, B'makam d'lo asher avada kasvin and shover. If bezdin knows that it's impossible and there's this worry, bezdin will for sure give him a receipt. Meaning bezdin, even in cases where we don't usually write receipts because we don't want to give the person holding the receipt the responsibility of having to guard it, in situations like this, we will give him one anyway. Okay. Have you lafana koshel besura? The Brisa said that one of the things that they do at a besula wedding is this cup of besura, like besoros tovos. They pass in front of her. So what is that? My koshel besura. So Amar Rav Barava kos yayin shel truma ma'avirin lafaneha. They pass a cup of wine, truma wine, in front of her. Klomar re'uya haisazu lecha betruma. As if to say, this woman is fit to eat truma. She's a besula, and she's fit to eat truma. So Gemara says, you don't need to be a besula to eat truma. Let's say an almana marries a kohen. She could eat truma. Matzal ver papa, I'll do almana miloach lebetruma. Right, an almana is allowed to marry a kohen, as long as he's not the kohen gadol. And now she's an Asian kohen, she can eat truma. So if it's truma, why they do that for a besula wedding? So Gemara says, Ella, you're right. Amar papa zuracious. Kitruma racious. No. They did the truma because symbolizing truma is first, is called racious. Just like this woman, this is her first relationship. We know in the Mishnayis in the end of Zroim discuss all the things that are called racious might be mitztarif to one another. Truma, bikurim, a few chala, a lot of them might be called might be in Tarovis might be mitztarif to each other. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. They passed a barrel of wine in front of her. Amar Rav Barava, Besula, Mavir Lefanei Stuma, Beula, Mavir Lefanei Psucha. Different in Hagen. By a Besula, they passed a closed wine, symbolizing her. She's closed. Beula, Mavir Lefanei Psucha. Beula, they passed in front of her a open wine. So Amai, the Gemara says, why do they have to do that? Never kami b'sula v'kami budla, never klal. Why don't they just pass the wine by a b'sula? Want to save a lot of tircha, and just by an almana wedding, you don't pass any wine. So zimnan the tafsa masayim. No, because sometimes maybe she'll want 200 va'amran b'sula ave. She'll say, I was really a b'sula. V'hai de lo avru kamoi isnusi hu disnisu. No, you know what? They were so busy they forgot to do the wine. They forgot I'm really a b'sula. So therefore, it could lead to more problems if Psula gets wine and the Almana doesn't get wine. It's better to always have the wine, one Pasuach and one Sagur. Okay, tomorrow is a very exciting daf. We'll stop here. Just read the next line, Tanu Rabbanan, just to get wet the appetite. Ketzer Meraktim Lefnei Akala. Ketzer Meraktim Lefnei Akala. Machloket Lashayim Beis Hillel. What do you mean Meraktim Lefnei Akala? If there's a mitzvah by a wedding, if somebody's doing a mitzvah there, isn't it the Chasen? Peruvu? What do you mean Ketzer Meraktim Lefnei Akala? So we'll see. It's the Meraktim Lefnei Akala, but Ma Omrim Lefaneha, Rashi says. What do you say in front of her? Because you give her all these compliments so the Chassan gets excited. So it's really being Mesameach LeChassan when you say beautiful things about the Kala. That's tomorrow. We get to talk about lying. You're allowed to lie. Kalanova Chasuda. We'll talk about Talmud Torah, about being Mochel on Kavod. A lot of things coming up. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, tomorrow night again, 9 o'clock Ma'ariv, and 9:15 Daf.